Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, we kicked off our My Story series. In this series, students and adult leaders get a chance to share a testimony of what God has done in their lives. Each testimony is summed up in one word. Georgia Calliope is one of our high school juniors, and she sums up her story so far with the word identity. Listen along and celebrate with us that God is transforming students in our midst. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, guys. Can I get a, yeah. Okay, you guys are less awake than first service was. Let's try that again. Go for it. Good boy. Okay. Someone over there is really awake. That's good. That's good. That's you? All right. That's good. Okay, so, hi, I'm Georgia. So I might know some of you, but I don't think I know most of you. So just a little bit about me. I'm a junior, like she said. I love painting, I love dogs, and one of the things I love so much is baking. And so I'm gonna ask you guys to do something, and you have to do it, otherwise it's gonna be really awkward for me. So what I want you to do is just start yelling out your favorite cookies. Favorite cookies. All right. All right. You guys are very excited about cookies. Very excited. All right. So I heard a lot of chocolate chip cookies. Raise your hand if you said chocolate chip. Nice. Me too. Yes, chocolate chip cookies are my absolute favorite. They're just kind of our family's like go-to dessert. We make them all the time. I have the entire Toll House cookie dough recipe memorized by heart. Like, it's that serious, guys. And my mom used to make them all the time when I was a kid, and I thought she was just making, you know, regular chocolate chip cookies until I found this cookbook that she has, and it's called Deceptively Delicious. And on here, you have this. It says, Simple Secrets to Get Your Kids Eating Good Food. And if you can see this girl on the front, she is making brownies with carrots and spinach. And yeah. And she has this like evil grin on her face because she knows what she's doing. And it's all about just taking perfectly good foods and ruining them. Isn't that awesome? So, yeah. So I found this recipe for chocolate chip cookies. And if you guys can see these, they look very unnatural, very unnatural. And the title up here says chocolate chip cookies. And then in really just small italic letters, like doesn't even matter, it says with chickpeas. And if you don't know what chickpeas are, they're like these white beans that just don't belong in cookies. And it's really gross. These were the cookies I was eating, guys. I was eating these chickpea cookies. And so when I found this out, I told my mom that she had to stop making them this way. That's disgusting. And once I had finally tasted what real chocolate chip cookies tasted like, I never went back to those chickpea cookies, right? And so my topic today is identity. Like, I don't know. But I kind of think of my life the same way. I was so just caught up in fake, like worldly ideals and trying to put my identity in other people. And life like wasn't really great. And then once I realized that putting my identity in Christ was so much better than that, I was never going to go back to putting my identity in other people, right? So when our lives look as unnatural as those cookies do, it can leave us feeling empty and worthless. So in a recipe, there are things that you would typically expect to find and things you typically wouldn't. So growing up in the South, it's pretty likely that you're going to find a church on just about every street. And it's kind of one of those things that's assumed that you're a Christian, and one of the first questions you'll get asked when you first meet someone is, what church do you go to? And so my story starts like most growing up in the South. I only really went to church because that's what my parents wanted me to do, and that's what good Christians are supposed to do, and I believed in God, but I just didn't really have a personal relationship with him. And growing up, I had heard, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I'd heard it so many times that it just kind of lost its meaning. And I just didn't really think about it all the time. And it's kind of like if your parents tell you, like, you're the best, you can do anything. And you're just like, okay, mom, whatever. Like, it loses its meaning after it's your mom, you know? And so So in church, I just never really paid any attention. I was honestly confused why I had to go because I felt like I already knew all the Bible stories and I didn't really see a purpose in being reminded of them. So I was just always kind of bored in church and never really wanted to go. And the only reason I kept coming to the middle school services was because my best friend and I would always go with each other. And we just kind of kept to ourselves, just like only sat with each other, only talked to each other, because we were both just super introverted, shy, and it would be uncomfortable for us to have to step outside of our comfort zone and start conversations with new people. It was just way more comfortable to just only talk to each other. And so that's what we did. And around eighth grade, she wasn't able to come as often. And so since she had stopped going, there was no way I was going to go, right? Because I was just so terrified of meeting new people. And I just was terrified of that. And I would pretty much just go to the main service with my parents and honestly just use that as like a time to nap on Sunday mornings. It's like early, you're not really paying attention. And so because I was just kind of living in my own little bubble, I started kind of having some social anxieties. And what that looked like for me was I was just so scared of not knowing what to say, saying the wrong thing, not knowing how to start conversations. And pretty much all small talk was just super awkward for me, and I hated it. And I was really scared that you know, I would be vulnerable with people and then they would reject me. I was just terrified of rejection and I just really wanted to be accepted. So for me, that meant just trying to fit a certain mold based on who I was around and almost like changing who I was based on who I was with. So I felt like I just didn't really know who I was. And I just found myself making a lot of assumptions that people already had their own group of friends, and they didn't need any new ones. They, you know, they didn't want me as a new friend. They didn't really want to talk to me. And whenever people were talking to me, I thought it was just like sympathy kindness. Like they felt bad for me, so they were talking to me. But you know, I thought they didn't really want like long-lasting relationships. And those lies that I spoke over myself really just took root as truth in my head, and lies that I spoke over myself. And so I was really just scared of meeting people all together. And so moving into freshman year, I was super excited for a new start, you know, new school. You know, this is gonna be my year. I'm going to, you know, fit in with the cool crowd, have great grades, be great at everything. And I don't know if you guys have ever set expectations like that for yourself, but we don't always meet them because we're not perfect. I mean, some of you in here might just be like great at everything, but I sure wasn't, so I did not meet those. And when we don't meet those expectations that we are putting our identity in, it's just a big letdown, right? And trying to find your identity in what other people think about you, it can make you feel really just self-conscious about everything that you say and do. And so that's where I was. And I just found myself feeling very lonely, even if I was in a crowd of people, because I felt like everyone else had already figured themselves out. I felt like everyone else already knew who they were, and I seemed to be the only one who hadn't. And I thought everyone else already had this confidence, and I just hadn't seemed to figure it out. And so I felt like I was the only one who was different, and it just made me feel really alone. And I felt like no one understood me, and I wasn't measuring up to those expectations, and so I was constantly trying to prove my worth. And in trying to prove my worth, like I said, I was just changing who I was based on who I was with. And I would be talking bad about one friend to another friend, and then while I was that friend, or while I was with that friend, I'd be talking about bad about the other friend. And it was just like a cycle of not knowing who my true friends were, because I just wanted to fit in with everyone. And so I was gossiping to do that. So as far as my faith was concerned, I still knew who God was. I knew that he loved me, and I believe that, but if I'm being honest, I think I was afraid of compromising my status for, you know, just seeing, seeming too churchy. That's the word I would use, was churchy. I didn't want to be labeled as super religious, judgmental, self-righteous. I didn't want to be labeled as that. I wanted to be someone that people felt like they could talk to about anything, that they could confide in, and really, I just wanted to fit in with people. That was my main goal in middle school, freshman year. And so have any of you guys ever felt like you just didn't fit in? Because it's a horrible place to be, right? It's horrible. And it's really lonely. And yet, right in the middle of this place I was in, I felt God putting it on my heart that I needed to go back to the high school church service. And I was super scared. I was just so insecure in myself, super anxious about it. And I really didn't want to go, but I knew it was something I had to do. And so I finally went one night, and I tried to just sneak in at like 6:30 when everyone was already sitting down. Worship had already started, and I really just wanted to sit by myself. I didn't want to talk to anyone. And this group of girls came over and asked me to come sit with them. And I didn't want to be rude, so I did. And they were super nice, like super sweet. But the whole time we were talking, I just couldn't get the lies out of my head that I was unwanted. They already had their own circle of friends. They didn't want me in there, you know? And so I just couldn't get my feelings of unworthiness out of my head. And I was really just blind to how God was sending me people and how they were trying to reach out to me. And so on the way home in the car, I just kind of broke down with my mom. And she was trying to explain to me that our identity is found in Christ alone, and that's the only thing that matters. And we are fully known and fully loved. And it helped a lot, but my insecurities were still there, and I just still felt uncomfortable with new people. So the first day of sophomore year, I went to a volunteer party at Fellowship Greenville. And I didn't really want to go because meeting new people, but I met Madison Trump, and Madison is just one of the most like extroverted, outgoing, talkative people you'll ever meet. And so we just clicked immediately because, you know, I'm this quiet girl and she's like super talkative and loud. So she invited me to come to church with her, and I was super pumped. I finally had someone to go with me. And so I did, and it was just so much fun, and she introduced me to so many people and really just showed me how just one person can show God's love and put Jesus on display in the smallest ways. And so that night was also the last night we could sign up for the high school retreat, Epic. I know some of you guys went this year, and everyone was telling me, like, it was super awesome, I had to go. And Madison just really isn't afraid of anything. So she actually came in my house and was talking to my mom. She was like, you have to sign her up today, you have to. So no pressure on my mom there, right? No pressure. And my mom and I just knew it was something I really had to do. Great way to meet new people. And so I went, and Epic was one of the most life-changing experiences. I was able to be vulnerable with my small group and open up about the things I was insecure about. And it was a great reminder of how powerful God's love is, and that we can cast all our anxieties on him, and that was the most freeing thing I could do for myself, because God cares about us. He loves us more than we love ourselves. He loves us more than anyone else could ever love us. And he knows what's best for us, right? And just laying all your cares in his hands is just the most freeing thing we can do. So I learned that who I am in God is better than anything else I could build myself up to be, and that nothing brought me the kind of joy that I found in him. And one of the main songs they sang at Epic was Fierce. And if you've ever heard that song before, it describes God's love as a tidal wave crashing over us. And that's exactly how I felt. I was immersed in God's word and a community of believers. And it really just made God's love, become so much more real to me. And I began to find a newer and better purpose in my life, which was to build a relationship with God and to love others in response to that, because that was my identity. That's all of our identities. That's what we are all created to do. We are all created to be loved by God and to love others. And I really just began to shift from an internal focus to an outward focus, especially in conversations and stuff, because I realized that my insecurities that I was focusing on, they didn't matter when I was in Christ, right? They didn't matter because God takes our brokenness aside and he makes it beautiful. And I really just began to focus more on making other people feel loved. And I wanted other people to experience the same thing that I had in Christ. So Colossians 3, 1 through 2, you can get that up there. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So when I was trying to define myself based on worldly standards, I was never able to measure up. I was constantly being let down. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he says we don't have to measure up, right? God sent his son to measure up for us. And he says that we are fully known and fully loved, right? He knows everything about us, and he loves us. And who we are to Christ is so much more important, and it's so much better than trying to define ourselves based on lies we tell ourselves or judgments from other people. And when we put our identity in him, we are doing what we were created to do. And we will never find satisfaction in putting our identity in other people, because that's not what we were designed for. So it's very easy to want to put our identity in what other people think, because we want to be accepted, right? And we want people to like us. And so we try to act a certain way and be a certain way. And we think that if people really knew the true us, then they wouldn't accept us. But the funny thing about that is, if they don't know the true you, they can't love the true you. But Jesus knows the true you. He knows everything about you, right? He knows more about you than you. And he knows every hair on your head. He knows all your dreams, all your fears. He knows everything you've ever done. And he loves you so much. And if we really believe that what God says is true, then everything he says about you is true. And so we need to just stop telling ourselves those lies that we're unworthy. And before you try to define yourself based on lies or what other people are telling you, remember the truth about what God says, which is that you are a child of God and you are delighted in. So 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, get that. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So this passage is so beautiful because it says that we don't have to be perfect. God still uses our weaknesses for his good. And he is our source of strength, and he is our only source of life. And when we focus our lives around him and we put our identity in him, we are doing what we were created to do. Okay, so let's pray really quick before small groups. So, dear God, I pray that you would just remind these middle schoolers throughout the week that their identity is found in you alone, and that they would just be able to focus on that throughout the week and not forget anything about this message. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.